open up to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Chad, there's a ring in here that, thank you. We're going to talk about being tested, all right? Joseph was tested and he passed the test. So I'm going to read chapter 39 to you, but I'm also, I want to set the stage for you, all right? If you remember the story, Joseph was loved by his father. He had the coat of many colors, and his brothers were jealous. So what they did is they plotted. First, they were going to kill Joseph. Then they decided they would sell him into slavery. So they sold him into slavery, and the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt, all right? And we're going to pick it up in chapter 39, all right? Now, before I read this, this is what I want to tell you. I believe if the church can get this, if the church will hear what's going on today, if we will actually take a look at the world and the things going on, and if we can get to a place where we pass the test like Joseph did, when it comes to morality, the body of Christ will change. And so I'm going to begin reading in chapter 39. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read a ton of scripture today. Don't worry, you'll be done in plenty of time, but the scripture says it better than I can say it, all right? It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought has brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, up the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Father, I'm going to ask you to come and guide us today with your word. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. First point in your outline, Potiphar bought Joseph and recognized God's anointing upon him. See, whether you know it or not, God has anointed you. He has gifted you. You have gifts. When Potiphar bought Joseph, he noticed immediately that everything Joseph put his hand to was prospering, whether it was in the house, outside of the house, because God had picked Joseph up. It makes a very big difference in your life if you're walking with God or not walking with God. So Potiphar recognizes this. Now, if you read the next point, Potiphar was married to an unfaithful wife. I don't know anything about Potiphar. I know he was in charge of the captain of Pharaoh's guard. That's what it says here. I know he was a wealthy man. He had a lot of things. I don't know if he was a moral man. I can't tell you about his life, but I feel bad for him because his wife was not faithful. Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. Men, it would be a great time to smile at your wife now. Do you understand the gift that a faithful wife is? You see, we miss it sometimes. And Potiphar had a wife that was unfaithful. Next point about Potiphar, he never questioned the accusation against Joseph. There's nothing in the text that says that he went to Joseph and said, hey, did this really happen? Give me your side of the story. Tells me in Proverbs, if I hear one side of the story, I'm a fool if I don't hear the other side. That's what Proverbs tells me. So he did not question. He just took her word for it, and he threw Joseph in jail, which I believe is part of God's plan. God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? I bet you Joseph wasn't too happy about it at the time. But this is what was going on, all right? Next point, Potiphar's wife is described in Scripture. And I'm going to read from Proverbs 5, the whole chapter. I'm going to read at least half of Proverbs 6, and I'm going to read the whole chapter of Proverbs 7. And here's the reason I'm going to do it, because I wonder how many of us have ever read it and know what it says. And so the Word of God will say it better than I can say it, but this is a description of this woman and what she is like. So I'm going to go to Proverbs right now, and I'm going to begin in the 5th chapter. Now turn to somebody and say, we have plenty of time. Go ahead. See, the enemy's going to run around here going, oh, what's he reading all this for? Because he doesn't want you to hear it. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Think about Joseph. In the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel. Lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets and your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sin hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. We're going to skip now to chapter 6 in verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Again, think about Joseph. For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? What do you think the answer is? Come on, say it.
No.
No. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched?
No.
You can't. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. I want to stop there and say this something to you. I love this because God is the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. And the devil cannot pay Jesus to take us away.
Hallelujah.
It counts here in this life, in our marriages, but it also counts in eternity and how our Lord and Savior looks at the bride. Chapter 7, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. He was walking down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Again, think about Potiphar's wife. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, "Today I fulfilled my vows. I have food from my fellowship offerings at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come. Let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. Father, guide us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's your next point. Unbridled lust continuously lures its victims. Did you notice what it says in the scripture? It says, day after day, she kept grabbing on to Joseph, saying to him, come and sleep with me. Folks, men, listen to this. It's not resisting one time and winning the battle and it doesn't happen again. She came day after day to tempt him. And her lust didn't stop. Her lust was unbridled. Nobody stopped her. She just kept after Joseph day after day, and he kept refusing day after day. Here's the next point. Potiphar's wife felt no shame. You want to know what's going on in the world today? There's no shame about the immorality and the perversion. They're trying to say that good is evil and evil is good. And it's in the Proverbs. Listen to what it says, Proverbs 30:20. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats, wipes her mouth, and says, I've done nothing wrong. If you're following in your outline, your next point, the world puts Potiphar's wife on display to tempt and to seduce. If you look at the worldview and if you look at the view of the last Proverbs that I just wrote, they're in direct opposite directions. And you say, come on, Pastor, I walked up in Lake Geneva. No woman came out to meet me as it was getting dark and tried to seduce me. No, she didn't. But have you watched your television lately? There's more garbage on TV right now to seduce young men and young women. You go on the internet, you need to be careful where you click. I was thinking of this as I was coming up here. Last summer, I needed an ignition module for my John Deere tractor. And I looked it up online, and a thing came up online. You've gone to a pornographic site, and you're, you know, I do this. And I called Rob Micklinghoff. I'm like, Rob, what's going on here? I said, I'm sitting right here. I wasn't looking at anything bad. He's like, relax, shut your computer off. But folks, it's a click away. And they glorify this. Several years ago, I read a statistic that the porn industry brings in more money than the NFL and the Major League Baseball combined. Now, I'd love to sit here and say to you, well, that's all those people out there. That's not in church. But you know what? That's not true. And if we're going to live holy lives, we were singing it today. If we're going to be holy, then we have to be holy. And we have to understand what's going on in the world out here. Parents have to teach their children. Parents have to model to their children faithfulness. It's so important, church. Next point, Joseph was faithful to God and Potiphar. Joseph was faithful to God and Potiphar. Do you see what he says? He almost sounds arrogant, and he says to Potiphar's wife, he says, no one's greater in the house than I am except your husband. And he says, I'm in charge of everything. And he says, the only thing I can't touch is you because you're married to my master. And he says, why would I do this thing and sin against God? He was faithful to God. He was faithful to Potiphar, to his owner. And he would not succumb to the temptation. And he resisted it. And he passed the test. Now look at the next point. Moral behavior was Joseph's true character. In our 7th and 8th grade class, Rob is teaching our junior high students, you have to make up your mind who you are and what your character is before you're tempted. Because if when you're tempted, just look at Joseph. When Potiphar's wife said, come to bed with me, do you notice there's nothing in here that says Joseph went, she's not bad looking. It doesn't say he looked around and went, oh yeah, my master's gone away. There's none of that. He immediately, because his character, who he is, he said, no, I won't sin against God. And folks, this is before the law. It's before God wrote on stone, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And he knew because he had the moral character. And he had made up in his mind before the temptation come, I'm not going to sin in that way, and I'm going to live a faithful life to God and to the wife he might give me someday. And I'm here to tell you, the world does not think that way, church. You know what the world would say? The world would say, well, you know, Joseph was just a man. What was he going to do? How could he resist? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. He provided a way out for Joseph. And Joseph took it. Where are you at in your mind and in your heart right now, Christian? See, what have you made up your mind you're going to do? I'm going out the door on the left, the door on the right, or I'm going right through the window. But I'm not going to trash my family. I'm not going to trash my life. And you have to make up your mind, and you can't sit around and go, well, if it ever happens to me, you know, I'll weigh the circumstances. You cannot do that. And Joseph ran. He passed the test, church. Are you ready to pass the test? Because I'm here to tell you, it's not going to get easier. You think it's going to get better in the end times? I got news for you. No, it's not. You know what the Lord showed me before I came up here? You know, this has gone way past immorality on the computers and pornography. And now what do we have? We have slave trade and sex trafficking, don't we? You know why? Because men see something on the screen and then they want it to become reality in their life. And if you heard what the proverb says, it says they don't know it's leading them to their death. Any guys here want to be shot with an arrow in the liver today? But see, people don't know the word of God, so they don't know what's going to happen. Anybody feel like walking on hot coals, taking fire into your stomach? But we don't know what it says. The Bible, the people out here are illiterate to what the word of God says, and the devil wants to keep us that way. Now, some people are in here going, oh, man, I've been there, I've done that. There's this thing called repentance. Turn around, ask God to forgive you, recognize your sin, and then there's forgiveness. And know what you're going to do when it comes again, and stop and escape and pass the test. Shut the computer off. You don't even have to get up to push the button on the TV anymore. You just hit the button on a remote and it's gone. Blackout. It's dangerous to go to a movie today, church. What if Joseph sinned? Have you ever thought about it? Think about if he didn't pass the test. Yeah, he would have had fun for a few seconds. Might have got away with it a few times before one of the servants squealed on him. You know what probably would have happened if Potiphar found out that he was actually, you know, submitting to the temptation? He probably would have died. If you know the rest of the story, you know who else would have died? All God's people might have died. Because God was moving Joseph to be in a position to take care of Israel. Oh, but Pastor, come on, just one little sin wouldn't make that much difference. You want to bet? I want you to be ready to pass the test. I want the body of Christ at Mount Zion to be ready to pass every test that comes our way, to know what you're going to do and to flee from the sin, all right? Now, I'm just throwing this in because I never thought about this before, but it's your next point. This is the second coat that caused Joseph trouble. If I was Joseph, I might just not wear a coat anymore. Isn't it something? He had that beautiful coat with all the colors, man, and his brothers got so jealous and they sold him into slavery, and now he's got his coat on and Potiphar's wife takes it, see? But the end of the story's awesome, folks. It's so awesome. Look at your next point. Faithful moral behavior is worthwhile and it's rewarded. Faithful moral behavior is worthwhile and it is rewarded. See, when Joseph ran away, I can hear the devil. You know, he got out of there, Potiphar threw him in prison, and he's thinking, oh my goodness, here we go again. And he's probably at this point, because he's at this age, you know, I figure his hormones were going wild. And he's like, I'm probably never going to get a wife. I'm probably never going to have a coat again. Genesis chapter 41. I just love this. Genesis 41, verses 41 through 45. Remember the point again. Faithful moral behavior is worthwhile and it's rewarded. Or if you pass the test, if you pass the test, it's worthwhile. Beginning in verse 41 of Genesis 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, Joseph comes out and he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. Listen, he dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Hey, I think this coat's better than the last coat. Amen. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and the people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Remember the point again. Faithful moral behavior is worthwhile and it's rewarded. Joseph was second in command. You know why the guys are always second in command? It's because God is always in command, so we're second. Always remember it, church. I don't want to be the top guy. I'm always second to my Lord and Savior. So important. And Joseph turned down an adulterous married woman who probably looked beautiful. I don't know. In all honesty, I don't care. But I'm here to tell you, Pharaoh, I think, gave him the most eligible bachelorette in all of Egypt. Is everybody listening to me? Joseph passed the test. He was faithful. And Pharaoh said, here, this girl belongs to you now, Joseph. She's your wife. She was the mother of Ephraim and Manasseh. And church, I'm here this morning to say, let's start counting the cost, all right? Let's see what it is to really live a holy life. The world is pulling on our young people right now, going, no, you don't have to listen to the Ten Commandments. You don't have to listen to your parents. Did you notice in the Proverbs how many times it said, listen to your mom, listen to your dad? And the world is saying, no, don't worry about that. You know, that Bible's so old and they've translated it so many times and it can't be right. And I'm here to tell you, it is correct. Amen. And there's nothing better, church, than being faithful to God and faithful to your spouse and faithful to your children. And in my case, faithful to my grandchildren. I can't imagine wrecking an entire family. And it's happening daily and it's running rampant. And I'm here this morning to say, church, let's live holy lives. Presents a problem. You know why? Because my friend and I talk about this all the time. If I stand up here and say, hey, men, if you're having trouble and you're struggling on the computer in pornography, you know, we got help for you. Come on up and see me after the service. Everybody's going to go, right out the back door. I'm not going up there. Everybody will think I got a problem. You know what I want to tell you? If you have a problem, you need to get help. You need to get an accountability partner. Church, I've seen the eyes of a wife whose husband is immoral. I see the eyes of a husband whose wife is immoral. We need to deal with it in the church, in the body of Christ. And so if you struggle, go to somebody. Come to me. Come to one of the pastors. And you know what? We have people that help. I know people who have gone through this. They have conquered this. They have broken the chains of addiction. And God delivers. God delivers. The last thing I want to say to you, if you're in here and you go, I'm not struggling with that, there's somebody around you that is struggling with it. And stand on the Word of God and get them to read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 and say, come on, man, the reward's here if we'll pass the test. And lastly, I want to say to you, church, if we get this down and we start to live holy lives, you know what's going to happen? The power of God is going to be restored to the body of Christ. Amen. So, Father, we come right now in the precious name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, go throughout the body of Christ here. Lord, be with those that are watching online. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, deliver us and prepare us to always pass the test. Father, we pray for the marriages and the families in the body of Christ, that, Lord, you would preserve them and that you would protect them and that you would guard over us, Lord Jesus. But help us, Lord. Help us to get it straight in our mind and get it straight in our heart and then have the courage to live it out in our daily lives, Father. Lord, I pray for repentance and I pray for forgiveness and freedom today. But Lord, deliver us and make us the body of Christ, the bride that you desire, in Jesus' name. Help us to pass the test. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. We'd love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to love and serve our God and pass the test. Amen.